through the end, and then we'll go back and talk about it. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he turns a sinner from the error of his way, and will save a soul from the death and cover a multitude of sins. Okay, I read a rather large chunk. We're not going to deal with a large portion of it, but I do like to give context around the verses that we're sharing. So to begin, we do start with 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. And I think this portion is just this start of look for this good stuff coming. I'm encouraging. I know this is in the middle of, or actually at the end of James, but this encouragement is wait on the Lord. And he compares it to this farmer. Consider the farmer that waits for the former and latter rain. The former and latter rain, I grow stuff in my garden and I have stuff, you know, chickens and turkeys and pigs, but I'm not a farmer. But in my observation of farmers that I've seen is they expect seasons. They expect provision. And that's what this is talking about, the early rain and the latter rain. They're expecting, this is what it normally does. This is when I plant my seed in the time before it's mud, and then it doesn't matter once it's in the ground and the rain does its thing, and then I wait, and I'm waiting for this latter rain because that's that last, I'm guessing, that's that last, you know, nourishment, that's what it needs, and then there's harvest. The objective is you get a harvest. Okay, he's not talking, he doesn't bring up farming because he's trying to win over the farmers in the assembly he's talking to. It's just an example. It's about this spiritual life. And he's saying, wait, the objective is our time with the Lord. Okay? That we want to be, that's the goal. We're going to be with him. I'd be amiss if I'd forget that we are with him currently. Like, we do have a relationship with him. We are not alone. But they're talking about this coming of the Lord, this being in his presence. That's the goal. Okay, but consider the farmer who waits for this early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. This is an expectation that is true. Okay, now, this is James, and we can read this same thing. The coming of the Lord is at hand. We still wait on the Lord. Okay, the expectation is true just because it didn't happen yet. It's still the same objective. It's still the same goal we share with them. So as we wait for this goal, and I honestly really think it's the coming of the Lord, or we go to be with him. I mean, either is the objective. You're with him, whether he comes to you, which he will, or whether we go to him and then are at the end with him. But I think it's interesting, the next thing he says, do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. I think it's like this. This is how I take it. And I didn't do a Greek study on it, but I just look at how it flows. Look at the end. But let me caution you of the very easy thing that happens right away as you wait. What do we do when we wait in line? Are we happy to wait in line? Are we happy to wait for stuff? No. When we wait, our tendency in the flesh is to grumble. And it's hardly, I'll say, ever about us. It's about other people. Somebody else has got a problem. Somebody else is making me wait for this. Somebody else is doing something less than what they should. Do not grumble. First thing after this, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against each other, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door, I really say. He's here. If there's a problem, he's seeing it. You be about you. You be about you. Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Okay? You're not above them. These men of God that we read about had connection. They knew righteousness. And they were, in many times, alone. Okay? In it. They were the word bearers in a season of negativity for his people. And indeed, we count them blessed who endure and have heard of perseverance. You have heard the perseverance of Job. We just studied Job recently. Job, perseverance of Job. Righteous Job, consider my servant Job. As much as that was the case at the beginning, in the entirety of the book, you know that Job wasn't perfect. Job was righteous, and God declared him such. But how does it end? In the sense of the whole story of Job goes, Job fails. Job doesn't stand like we'd want him to, okay? Like God would want him to. But what's the point of it? Seen to the end, intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. The end of that isn't Job exaltation, yay Job. It's look at the Lord. Look at Yahweh. And his take on Job comes to his defense. He deals with Job as he needs to and corrects Job. But he exalts Job just like he did at the beginning to others. I think it's important for us to realize that is the God we serve, compassionate and merciful. He used the story of Job in this just beginning. Do not grumble because you have this tendency. Be patiently waiting. We know the story of Job. He was righteous. He failed. But God's view of him was this. But above all, brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth. I read this part just for context because it's in here. But let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. Is anyone among you, this next part is, I just think, the function of us in the church. Are you suffering? What do you do? Pray. Are you cheerful? What do we do? We're instructed to sing psalms. That covers the two spectrums. Okay? Are you suffering? or are you cheerful? There's direction for both. It doesn't say, are you suffering? Go ahead and whine. You know, cry. There is a season for crying. I'm not saying that. But it's are you suffering? Come to me. And I'm not, we all have things that we suffer about, and we should be praying before the Lord. Are we cheerful? Share this psalm. Encourage each other. Is anyone sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him in oil with the name of the Lord. There is this protocol or established how God works. This is what he wants us to do in the church. Okay? He wants us to be looking for him, going back to the beginning. He wants us to not be grumbling about each other. We want to be about him, and we want to be operating this way, individually praying before God in our suffering. Are we cheerful? Share that with the others. Encourage that. Are you sick? Because it's not a sickless church. It's not like, oh, the church of the everybody here, because you're a believer, is not suffering physically. He's saying there's going to be sick. Do it this way. You're praying about it. That might be one of your sufferings. Maybe it's not physical. But if you are, come to the Lord. Come to your elders. Anoint to them. And so that they may pray. Because it's right for them to pray for you. For us to pray for each other. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. This is another, just a point of encouragement. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Confess your trespasses to one another. You know, we don't have a time that we all come up and, you know, air our dirty laundry about ourselves. We don't do that. But it is this tool that's given to us that if we're the words trespass here, I'm sure another version is something else, but you're falling short in an area, something's dogging you, get a brother, get a sister, get a couple people that are praying for you. Why? Because the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If we consider how God wants us to pray, how does he want us to pray? According to his will. If we pray according to his will, we have what we ask. Elijah is the example. So he'll take this extreme. Elijah was a person, just a man. He was a prophet. But all that means is that he's God's mouthpiece and doing what God's will and saying what God wants him to do. He's just a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced fruit. Okay, pretty spectacular, right? A guy prays. It's not spectacular. I mean, it is. It is a miracle. But the point is, it's not Elijah. It's God. So, go back up, confess your trespasses one to another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. Why? Because it's God's will for us to be walking with him. If you're confessing to one another your trespasses, you're acknowledging that you're failing. And God's will, God's desire, God's heart is for us to be right. And he's done it. He's 1 John 1:9, confess your sins, and he is faithful and just. Forgive us our sins. So we do that. That's individually before God. He can do that. But if you find that you're failing, find a couple brothers, sisters to pray for you. Because God doesn't want you to fail, to trespass against him. He doesn't want you to do it. He doesn't allow you to do it. He gives you the ability to get right. And he's not surprised that you did. He dealt with it already. This first part is just developing this mind of God that we want to have for each other. He ends this book with this. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. First of all, it's brethren. Anyone among you. I'm talking to brethren, James is. Okay? It's not brethren, shun, ridicule, embarrass. God's heart is get them back. Love them. They're among you. They're brethren. Okay? He doesn't end. Well, we could talk about a whole bunch of stuff he doesn't end with. He ends with this. He ends with, this is important to me. I'm ending this letter like this. You know, confess. There's these tendencies that we know exist. I'm not going to turn a blind eye and say that all's well. We know that these things happen. Confess. Pray for one another. Operate like this so that you can grow. Okay. God's heart is to restore his children. Okay, if you want to follow, we're going to go to Galatians 5. 7. I don't know. I can't tell you how I put these three things, three chapters or parts of chapters together. It kind of just, when Timothy asked me if I would fill in, I'm always willing. And then start just being open to maybe where what's on my heart lately. So we start in Galatians 5. And again, I'll read 5 through 6, 10, just context, be considering these things. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offenses of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. And let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Okay, so this next portion, Galatians 5:7, we start. You ran well, who hindered you from obeying the truth? I think we're picking up right at the end of James. And I know they're totally separate. I'm just saying the idea is the same. I'm writing to a church, Galatia. You started well. You received the gospel. We know that the law is kind of entering in by a certain sect from outside. And he's saying, who hindered you? This truth that you're abandoning is not, what you're following is not, this persuasion does not come from him who calls you. Okay, this isn't a Christ venture that you're going out on. Okay, he's saying, be careful. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Okay, this righteous, it's law, but we're going to exalt it above what you were taught in liberty and in grace. It's, be careful. It starts as this little thing, and then it's going to come in here and just poison your walk. Okay? Verse 13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as opportunity for the flesh. What should you use your liberty for? But through love, serve one another. I think the wording is just great. You have freedom. You have liberty to serve God as you, to walk in Him. It's not law. Just remember what the Jews, what Israel came out of. It was law. That's the setup. Okay, that was holiness, righteousness, only as a tutor to bring us to Christ. So in Christ we have freedom. How do we use our freedom? To be slaves to one another. Let us choose in our freedom to be slaves. In our freedom, being slaves to Christ, let's do service to one another. That's where he's saying this law that you've, don't let it enter. Don't let it be masked as righteousness. You have liberty. Use your liberty to serve. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? And we know that. Love the Lord your God with all your... The Lord answered this to those who asked him, what's the greatest? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But you're not going to do that without this, and that's love your neighbor as yourself. That same degree of love. You can't separate these two things. So when we talk, and just we're going to get to this enduring with fruit. This is how you endure. Okay, it is together. It is with each other. You're going to take this liberty and serve one another. Okay, it's not enduring and just trying to live wholly alone. You're instantly going to be engaged together. Okay. Again, the caution. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I want to put this in my own words, and I don't know that I'll do well in rambling, but there are there is a mindset that you should have for one another, and it's that we should have. Let me point it back. That we should have for one another, and it is always forgiveness, mercy, compassion, devotion, these things. There is a true humility that we should have, a sober reality that we should have for ourselves, that we are nothing outside of what Christ in us makes us. When you bite and devour one another, it is because you have put yourself where you shouldn't be. You're viewing yourself here, not in the reality of humility in Christ, that you're nothing outside of Him. And at the same time, you're looking at each other, we are looking at one another wrongly. If you are, and he uses biting and devouring, I mean, that's figurative. You know, it's this attack. It's this condemnation. It's this what you do with your words. It starts in your mind. Okay? There shouldn't be this. You're biting and devouring one another. Be careful. You could consume each other. Like it can go and destroy you if you let it continue. And the continuing, it starts in the mind and continues in the mind, because the right thought is, I am nothing outside of Christ's righteousness. This brother is everything because of Christ's righteousness. So in essence, we're equal. But the reality is, you're exalting the other. Well, it comes out, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You're the same. Like, you naturally love yourself. You don't have to teach that to somebody. Okay, the world says you got to love yourself. You know, first, until you love somebody, you got to love yourself. We love ourselves. We care about feeding ourselves. We clothe. We want to do well by ourselves. That's natural. He's saying operate in the unnatural and put others equal. Like you do yourself. Love each other. Be careful if you don't have the right mindset. So I say then, Paul says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. I just want to point out, we're to be walking. We're to be growing. We're not saved to stand. We're not saved to sit down and like, whew, I made it. I believe the gospel and I'm in heaven. Sit down. Hold on for the ride. Do your thing. Stay out of... It's not what our call is for. It's to walk in the Spirit. I won't read all the list. Okay, the works of the flesh are evident. There's a huge list, two verses of them. I do like this. The works of the flesh are this. When you produce in the flesh, all you can produce is this stuff. It's from adultery to revelries and the like. Okay, it's a list of, we all see that, and I love it. But the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these, there is no law. There is not a law in the world, I don't think, against these. That would matter. Nobody's going to, you are not to love. Now, there might be a twisted something that would stop you from loving. My point is this. The fruit of the Spirit, and I thought of these, I don't think any of them can be done by yourself. None of them can. You can't love. You can't. I look at joy as like, does a tree fall in the woods and make a sound and nobody hears? Like, does it? Is it only because somebody's there? Joy is like that. Like, do you have joy unless somebody can? People see joy. Okay, that might be the only one that I think you could be sitting in your car and have joy. You know, and only the Lord sees it. But all of these are, you don't suffer long by yourself. There's somebody causing you to suffer long. Okay? Peace, faithfulness, goodness. These are things that are to be done together. Maybe a couple of them can be done individually, but they totally can be done together. This is what we want to be producing. So when we are enduring, looking for the promise, we're going to be, as His children, we're going to be with the Lord in His presence, like physically. Our souls are going to be with the Lord in His presence. Until then, this is what we should be producing amongst each other, together. It's God's heart for each other, for us all. I'm going to get going here. Again, 7 had it. Let's go to 6:1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. I know I picked portions, but this is the third time that there's the recognition, or fourth if you're just recognizing, we fail. The operation is to walk in the Spirit toward one another, love when there's failure. Gently encourage each other. Recognize it yourself and have somebody praying for you. God's heart is for reconciliation. God's heart is for peace. So if anyone thinks of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Again, it's this mindset. If we each can really recognize that we are nothing outside of Christ who is in us. If it's not that, we're deceiving ourselves. Let each one examine his own work, and rejoicing in himself alone, for each one shall bear his own load. This is where I just see how God works in this next one. Let him who is taught in the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. Okay, as we consider our pastor. But there might be others, you know, there's other teachers you may have. Share in this work. There's not a teacher without those who are taught. You see what I'm saying? You can't have a teacher without a student. I mean, you can have a teacher, but he's not operating, he's not doing anything unless there's a student. Share in that. There is this assembly. I've said to a couple brethren recently, this is our local assembly. This is our local body of Christ. It's not Timothy's. And I'm not saying that he's ever said that. I'm just saying he is part of our assembly. He is the one gifted to teach, and we enjoy it and grow in it. And he can work out his gift with us, and we can benefit, and we should, as the Scripture says, share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, he will also reap. This is just that same line, just this encouragement of enduring with fruit. Don't kid yourself. If you're not sowing the fruits of the Spirit, if you're not sowing spiritually, loving, you're not going to reap that. You're not going to be credited that. And God's not going to be mocked. And let us not grow weary. Again, this enduring while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And then one of my favorite verses, 6:10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. I just like that verse because it is clear. We're to do good. That's our job. Our good works have been predetermined for us before the foundation of the world. We're just recognizing our availability and our opportunity to do them. That's what God is wanting. Okay, I don't want to go long, so I'm going to go to next one. Hebrews 13, 1 through 17. Let me again just read it. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, for those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is also honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and all adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods that have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for you, your souls, as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Okay, again, I do recognize that I picked these sections, so it's like, look at this logical order. Well, I picked them, but it's for this reason. This is a theme in the three different letters to brethren. Let brotherly love continue. This next one, I just want to encourage. Do we believe that there is a spirit life, that there is a spiritual life? I do. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Do you believe that? At least that it did happen. I mean, in this time. I do. I believe that this life, though the physical preoccupies our mind so much, it is spiritual. That we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Though it seems like we do. It seems like we struggle with our tiredness and our work and our quest to pay our bills on time. It seems like my battles are with my tenants that are very physical, not physical battles, but my tenants are physical, you know, in my line, bosses, laborers, you know, whatever, teachers, people. Okay. It seems physical and we do work out this spiritual in the physical, but it is so spiritual and this is true and it's an encouragement. Don't forget entertaining strangers. Like, he puts that in there. Like this, let me give you a little heads up, a little hint here. You don't want to diss an angel, you know? You don't want to shut your door on, this guy came in need and it was just opportunistic and you missed it. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them. Those who are mistreated. I think this is, I kind of broke these three things down. Life is spiritual. Love, first of all, love. Continue in love. Continue in love. If you're loving the Lord, you're loving each other, you're doing well. And if you're doing that, then probably you're going to be ready to entertain strangers, which, by the way, one might be an angel. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them. I think for us, I mean, at this time, I think there were prisoners that they knew. Don't forget them. For us, I think it's remember how big the body of the Christ is, how worldwide it is. We don't have physical prisoners in this country at this time. But we have brethren who are really our brethren that we will spend eternity with that suffer in isolation under authority or suffer in a country and are persecuted. Remember them and the prisoners as if chained with them. That's regularly. That's all the time. Like, that's put it before yourself, purpose, because this person is suffering. Suffer like them. Marriage is honorable among all. I just want to encourage us. This is just a small blurb in all of this. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. I think God brings up marriage a lot because of its reflection of Christ in the church. When we talk about brethren who fall away, and it's so easy to look out and look around us or in your experience, and those are the people. I don't think you need to look outside your house first if you're married. Your husband falls short. God's heart is for restoration. Your wife falls short or offends you or whatever. God's heart. Don't separate these other verses for outside the husband and wife relationship. Christ in the church, the bride of Christ offended him maximally. He restored them maximally. It wasn't a, oh, even at my suffering for you, you're going to ridicule me. No, it's, you're going to ridicule me in the next breath, this thief on the cross that had just hurled insult. You'll be with me in paradise. That's God's heart. So I just was struck by that, that this is big to God, this marriage setup. Don't separate forgiving each other, you know, in the distance seats. Yep, God wants me. Start in the passenger seat of your car or the driver's seat. Start there first and treat them like God wants us. If a brother falls away, restore him. If a brother falls away, go to him gently. That's the heart. That's his heart. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Covetousness and content. Covetousness is selfishness. Let yourself be content. Operate in satisfaction because of God. Because of him. He knows. He knows what you need. So if you're not satisfied, it's probably something you want, not need. Be patient for the latter rain. The early rain's here. Be patient for the latter rain. Be content. Be at peace. For one thing is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You are not alone in whatever that angst or struggle is. The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Don't get off target thinking, even considering man. Whether that's looking at your brother and, wow, they have, I don't. Selfish, covetous, be joyful for them, be glad. I mean, in this physical, and that's, you can look at that monetarily. You can look at that with possessions. You can look at that with family size. You can look at however you want. Don't. Be content in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be concerned with man, either in fear or in covetousness. And then this last part is where we'll just kind of chew on forever. Remember those who rule over you. This is another tie-in with Russ's. Who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow. Consider the outcome of their conduct. Jesus, because these people bring you Jesus Christ. That's where ultimately we want our minds. So remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you. That's the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't be taken off target by little things, and it goes into food there. And then it goes into he's writing to the Hebrews. So he's talking about, like, these people that are offering sacrifices and don't know Christ, they don't even have a relationship with him. They can't even go into the Holy of Holies. Like, they do this thing. You have been saved. You have been, because by grace, made a child of God, able to have fellowship with him. That's where we stand. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside. Let us go with him outside, bearing his reproach. Let's be identified with Jesus Christ. Let that be our identification. Children of God, because of our King who died for us outside the camp. Now he's talking again, this Jerusalem, Jewishness, Israel, that's who he's writing to. But it's the same with us in this world. Let us go outside with him, outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek this one to come. Let our minds be, as we read at the beginning of James, the promise is real to us. We will be with him forever. We know he will come and set up his kingdom again. And we'll either come back with him or we'll be here when he comes and we're with him. Okay? Let's have that be where our minds are now. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to our God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good again. We're this doing, this good, these works. This is part of the walk. It's not, I just sing Alleluia chorus, Amazing Grace to God in my car, and that's my relationship. Fruit comes from the interaction of the body of Christ under the head. Don't forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifice God is well pleased. At last, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, as Russ mentioned, for that would be unprofitable to you. If we operate in a way that is contrary to godly leading, faithful leading, Word of God directives, it's not profitable for us. I like how he puts it. Like, I don't even want to go there. It's just not profitable if you don't go there, if you don't operate like this. Let your leader, let your pastor do so in joy. And I put a note here with the, this is just let you, just to fight the argument that might happen of, well, sometimes they could be wrong. Okay, be the noble Berean, and go to the Word. And if it's contrary to the Word, treat him as like a brother that has already been talked, that has, hey, you're wrong here. I'm going to go to you. I'm going to say, hey, I think you're off in this. And I'm telling you, with our specific pastor, that would be welcomed. Go to me. Don't just grumble. Don't. All these things that we've said, he's not above that. This is how we work out our salvation. This is how we grow together. Okay? We don't grumble. We operate in the fruits of the Spirit towards each other. This is the last thing. And just chew on this on your own. Because I want to, ultimately, we always want to have the Lord Jesus Christ be our consideration. He is the ultimate example in righteousness. He is our example of how we live in holiness. And he has, in the Word, that he is the Word, has given us that opportunity. But consider how enduring with fruit, how Christ did that in the days of his flesh. Did the Lord Jesus Christ endure with fruit to the end? Yes. Yes. Ultimately, I mean, he was tempted in every way. He sacrificed, loved his neighbor with a devotion that is ultimate to the end. Our end is not his end. Our end, his end that he knew when he came, was crucifixion. That was his looking forward to. Ours is ultimate fellowship in his presence. That's our end. Whether we, again, are with him when he comes, or whether we die somehow, that's our end. He was promised crucifixion, and I would say was devoted to the end. He was promised crucifixion, and those that he came blasphemed him and tormented him in just not hearing truth. Those who had the lust of the flesh, the works of the flesh, those people that probably everyone in that list encountered him, he loved them to restoration. Some of them are very famous. You know, they're in that, adultery, that's in that list. Yeah, and she walked with him the rest of his days and was at the foot of the cross. He is our... I'm just giving you a couple. Please do that. Did Christ endure with fruit till the end? He did. My heart is for us to grow, to endure together, to bear fruit. And you do that with each other. And so I want to do that. I want to have God's heart of restoration if needed, mercy and compassion be our heart for each other. And just encourage us to walk together in him and exalt the name of Jesus Christ. Let the sacrifice of praise be on our lips. It is a great God who is worthy of all our praise. Amen. Thank you.